Broadcasting from the ESPN Radio Studios in Tallahassee, Florida, and in partnership with the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast with Tom Lang.
Back in your hole, Buffalo, this is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com Podcasting Network, brought to you all season long by our friends at Bill Curry Ford. Yes, indeed, a big win for the Bolts on a Thursday night at Amalie Arena. Was that the close of the homestand? Yes, it was. And a successful homestand for the Bolts was had, save for a blip on the radar Tuesday night against Anaheim. 4-1 on the homestand, and to be specific to this podcast, 8 points were available to the Tampa Bay Lightning since last we spoke, and the Tampa Bay Lightning grabbed 6 of those points. Good stuff there. Lot to talk about today, but honestly, I'm going to focus on last night's game against Buffalo the most. So before we get into that, I got a couple of thoughts on Buffalo, the team. I'm going to set those up, and then that's going to carry us into what we saw last night. Between the Lightning and the Sabres, a game in which the Lightning went 5-4 on the strength of a Cedric Paquette game-winning goal in the third period, and it was a rocket shot. Upper 90, as they say in soccer. Okay, Seti P, thank you very much. But looking back at the week very briefly, Chicago, day after Thanksgiving last week, storm out to a huge lead, score 4 goals in the first period, the most beautiful of which was Ryan Callahan's stop on a dime move. It was like a toe drag, stop on a dime. And then he fires it past Crawford. That was the 4th goal in the first period. But we kind of cruise from there after taking a 4-1 lead through 20 minutes. Sunday night, we play New Jersey. Another 4 goals in the first period. It's been a theme of late that the Bolts, they come out, especially at home, and they want to make a statement. We did again against New Jersey, scoring 4 in the first 20, winning that game 5-2. Then Tuesday night against Anaheim, a bit of a different hockey game and a game I was happy to see us play. Physical style. Very physical. That's what Anaheim does. I know that that's a middling Ducks team. Had been on a big-time losing streak, especially on the road. They weren't doing much of anything. They don't score very many goals, does Anaheim. But they present a test to the Bolts in that they are very physical. When I was growing up in the 90s, mid to late 90s, the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference had two distinct styles of play. The Eastern Conference was physical. I mean, there were bruisers and fighters and goons. The times were good, man. If you like fights at hockey games, you come to a Lightning game at the Thunderdome in the 90s, you saw, just like the Thunderdome name would suggest, you saw a lot of combat. Be it between the Lightning and the Panthers, who were pretty good in 96, but the Flyers were extremely physical. The Rangers were physical. They had a guy named Jeff Bookaboom, who was their goon. Everybody really had a goon, but Boston was physical, as they seemingly always have been. And Toronto had a guy named Ty Domi. A lot of power forwards, not much space, a lot of clutching and grabbing physical hockey. Meanwhile, the West was known more for its finesse. Vancouver comes to mind with Mogilny and Pavel Bure. Detroit, obviously, was in the Western Conference at that time, and they had a lot more skill. They had enough grit, but they were known more for scoring goals than they were checking guys into the boards and dominating you physically. But that kind of switched the latter part of last decade into this one. I think the game's kind of balanced out now, but Anaheim and Los Angeles were two teams always this decade, the mid part of this decade, that you had to bring it, man. They were going to always challenge you with power forwards, big defensemen, and Anaheim still is that, with Ryan Getzlaff leading the way in the physical department. So I say all that to say that while the Lightning are a finesse team these days, it's good to see a challenge for 60 minutes, even if it is against, again, an Anaheim team that's not that great, where your grit, your mettle is tested. And I thought we rose to that challenge. We just came up short in the game. An observation I see about Amalie Arena, we used to call, when it was the Ice Palace, Joe Louis South, when the Red Wings would come to town and making the playoffs 20 straight years, but when they were really rolling there and in the hunt for the cup every single year, we called Joe Louis South because it would be 70-30 80-20 red in the stands, and it was really annoying as a Lightning season ticket holder. You had to fight off these people. And it would be one of the most rowdy nights of the year because you had to respond. Your pride was being put in question. Well, it may not be that way anymore because Detroit's terrible, and that's fine by me. But I do think that Amalie Arena is Joe Louis reincarnated. And by that I mean, holy cow with the bounces. Crazy caroms off the boards, off the glass. We are a house of horrors when it comes to that. And we got bit by it on Tuesday night against Anaheim. A point shot on the power play that goes 3-4 feet wide of Louis Domingue in the net to the left. Bounces up over the net. I mean, straight up over the net. And it comes down just in a perfect spot in the crease for a deflection in. Not how you draw it up. Basically, 2 points off the window in basketball. But that one turned out to bite us. And then Anaheim goes up quickly 3-1. And we're out of that game. But I thought hit for hit, I thought we responded to the challenge well. I like our commitment to each other this year. That was a question I had in the preseason. We're playing tough hockey. And that extended to last night. So, the big game against a Buffalo Sabres team that had won 10 straight, including a 2-1 victory over our Bolts a couple of weeks back. A night in which we dominated Buffalo, but a goalie stood tall. And so, we don't get any points. They get the two. It's going to happen in the course of a regular season. Well, here you go. Now Buffalo is feeling even better about itself. Challenging for the most points in the NHL. So, you have this unexpected title fight feel to the Thursday night game against Buffalo. Not one that if you have half season, full season tickets, you expect to be a great game. And it was. All facets of the experience were great. While I wasn't there in Amalie Arena, you could easily tell that this is the most engaged the fans have been since the beginning of the season. You know why? For the same reason as I said with Detroit back in the day. A lot of Buffalo fans in the building, a lot of transplants live in the Tampa Bay area. It's the one reason I think Jeff Vinnick doesn't put up too much of a fight about all the travel we have to do within our own division. If you think about it, we fly over how many NHL cities to play teams in our own division? It's ridiculous. But in his defense, if he's looking at it economically speaking, a lot of people in Tampa Bay from Toronto, Montreal, Boston, and Buffalo, a lot of people who said, the hell with the cold, I'm coming down to Tampa, if not for the entire year, at least the winter. And so we sell a lot of tickets because of that. And Amalie Arena was a loud place to be last night. Two fan bases going at it as the two teams on the ice traded leads. This was 5 lead changes in the game. The Bolts get the final one. And even though we largely dominated the game, it was close to the bitter end. And we come out on top with a regulation victory over Buffalo. And we take our rightful place back in first in the Atlantic Division, most points in the NHL through the amount of games we played, and back in your hole, Buffalo. Now, I'll get into the blood and guts of the Buffalo game, but before I do, I just want to look at Buffalo, the team, and whether or not I believe that they are real and why they are real or not. The answer to this question is Buffalo is not really a threat to win the division. If they were to win the Atlantic Division, it would be the outlier of outliers. And why do I say that? Well, there's a good website called The Point Hockey. So it's thepointhockey.com. I cited them last year during the playoffs because they look at advanced analytics and stats to give you a greater sense of what happened on the ice. For example, I talk about plus minus a lot when I do player reactions and valuations. I think plus minus means more for a defenseman than it does a forward. It's harder to change when you're a defenseman if the puck is in your zone. It's nearly impossible, in fact, unless you get caught up ice or something along those lines. But for a forward, there are a lot of times that goals are scored when teams are making changes on the bench. For example, one of the goals last night from Thompson for Buffalo, the guy just came off the bench, and Buffalo was making some sort of partial change. So whoever skates were on the ice got a plus. Maybe some of those 5 earned it. Certainly Thompson did. And then a couple others maybe didn't. They just got lucky. Doesn't always give you the best indicator. So advanced stats kind of fill in those gaps a little bit, and they tell you a greater story about what's happening. So The Point Hockey wrote this article a few days ago, it was last week, and it said, "Look." The title of it is, Looking Past the Mirage of Buffalo's 7-Game Win Streak. Notice the word mirage there. It sticks out, right? Well, here's some stats. I'm not going to blind you with explanations of analytics, but I'm going to give you the basic look at how Buffalo is defying the odds to be a challenger to Tampa Bay in this division. Pretty simple. So, in the seven-game win streak, if you just look at Buffalo's offense, they scored 3.6 goals per game, seventh best in the league. That's pretty good, right? Yeah. Yeah, especially for a Buffalo team that hasn't been known for scoring goals, that's a sight for sore eyes for that market and that fan base. However, if you dive into the numbers of expected goals, scoring chances, and passes to the slot, of course, the slot is where you get high percentage chances, expected goals 29th, scoring chances 17th, and passes to the slot 29th. So they're pretty terrible in those regards. And yet, they're a top 10 team in scoring. That means that a crazy amount of the few chances they get are finding the back of the net. And we're not done. Look at the defensive side of the ice. Goals against in that period of time. Buffalo giving up 2.6 per game. Again, this is through the seventh of their winning streak, the seventh game of their winning streak. 2.6 goals surrendered per game. In the NHL, that's eighth best. So here you have a team that's scoring at the top 10 in the top 10 of the league and is giving up a top 10 fewest goal mark in the league. Pretty good. That's how you win games and a lot of games in a short period of time. However, here we go again. Expected goals against, an advanced stat I'm not going to go into, trust me. 29th, scoring chances against, 31st, dead ass last, passes to the slot against, 31st, dead last. So what's Buffalo doing? They're defying the odds in both zones. And they're doing so to the tune of a 10-game win streak that puts them atop the division before we take it back from them last night. Okay, so flash forward to the game we played. And it really is more of the same. On my day job, we have this segment called Big Daddy J, where Jeff Cameron, the host of the show, he picks the games in the NHL based on over-under totals. That's why last week I was talking about Ottawa, or puck lines. And we will circle games. Sometimes I'll have input, sometimes I won't, that I like because of the way teams are trending and the styles of play. So last night I said, take the Bolts minus a goal and a half. And you'd say right away, well, Tom, you lost that bet. The Lightning won by merely one goal. Dan Girardi missing the empty net kind of hurt us a little bit there at the end. Yes, it did. But we outchanced them 26-15 in that game. We hit multiple posts. And Louis Domingue gives up two soft goals. So it took all of these things to stack up together for this to be a 4-4 game late and for the Lightning to win merely 5-4 in regulation. Buffalo is one of the luckiest teams in hockey. Plain and simple. They're one of the luckiest teams in hockey, and it carried them into this division race with Tampa and Toronto. Now, what does this mean going forward for Buffalo? Well, just because you're lucky, it doesn't mean that you give the points back. What it does is it gives a young group, or a group that's used to losing, a ton of confidence. And maybe they're going to play over their head for a little while longer. The good news for them is Carter Hutton's performances, their goaltender, their starting goaltender, they're highly sustainable. He had a .930 save percentage in St. Louis last year. He's been dominant for them in this winning streak. I think he's going to be an upper echelon goaltender across the league all season long. So if they can tighten it up, as they have already won 10 out of 11 games here, well, they can still be in the playoff race. I don't think Buffalo is a threat to win the division, however. Talked about it a lot last year with Boston and Toronto and Tampa and how this was a three-horse race. With Boston being a proven team, we were a proven team, and Toronto was an up-and-comer. Toronto is for real. Toronto is a threat now this year in 2018-19. Boston is still a threat in 2018-2019. I don't believe Buffalo is, for the reasons stated. They don't play good enough defense, first of all. They're big-bodied, but they don't play good enough defense. And if Carter Hutton's going to stop everything he looks at, then they're a threat to take a Series 6 or maybe sneak out a first-round victory over a team that whoever they're going to face, be it a Toronto, Boston, or us. So last night, we did what we were supposed to do. We came out firing. We scored a goal first few minutes of the game. We had the first eight shots on goal, six of which came from the defense, oddly enough. And Dan Girardi is the one who punches it home and gets us up 1-0. We're up 8-0 in shots, and it looks like we're going to control this game, much like we had against New Jersey and Chicago. But to Buffalo's credit, they fight back. A couple of things about this game and the way it went. Number one, I think the game was officiated in such a way that benefits Buffalo. If it's officiated like a normal regular season game is officiated across the sport, I think we win this game 7-2, 6-3, something along those lines. There were a lot of moments last night where clutching, grabbing, interference, hits behind the play, they were all allowed. The referees looked the other way. And that's kind of annoying when you have a distinct speed advantage over a team. It reminded me a little bit of when Edmonton came to town a few weeks ago. We were skating circles around them, except for the McDavid line. They knew it, and so they had to find a way to slow us down. Buffalo did a lot of the same stuff. To their credit, since the calls weren't made, they continued down that road, and they fought us tooth and nail. But I thought we learned a lesson from Tuesday night's game against Anaheim, a very physical contest at Amalie Arena, that we have to fight through these checks. You have to fight through the obstructions and the holdings and the physicality behind the net to win pucks. And we did enough of that to generate 26 scoring chances in a game in which the power play looked wholly average until Steven Stamkos' goal that tied the game up at 4. That is a huge number. And it speaks to how raw Buffalo is on the defensive side. There are a couple of things about last night, too, that I didn't like. Obviously, the Jack Eichel hit on Ryan McDonagh is crap. I thought it was worth a 5-minute major. He's got no chance to go anywhere. Eichel is quite strong on his feet, too. So he knows exactly what he's doing, and he knows his strength. And unfortunately, that was just a 2-minute minor for boarding, and Ryan McDonagh had to go into the concussion protocol. I'm going to assume it's the concussion protocol. If it's not, then it's a shoulder injury. But we didn't get him back last night. Looked like we were going to lose Girardi for a while, too, and we were only going to play with 4 defensemen. But thankfully, we had 5 for the game, and all of them except for Eric Chernak hit over 20 minutes. But the other thing I didn't like last night was that power play. It was atrocious. A lot of overpassing. There was one. It was the double minor chance we had after the high stick to JT Miller that cut his lip. We had a lot of shot opportunities in high percentage areas. I am not a Tampa Bay fan, the generic one that's existed for 25 years with this franchise, who just yells shoot in the stands. I can't do that during the power play. If it rolls out to the point and Victor Hedman's got it and somebody clearly has taken him and taken the angle away from the net, yelling shoot is about the dumbest thing you can do in the stands, and we need to be better about that. However, if you have the puck between the circles, Braden Point, and nobody's on you, there is no need to pass the puck to Nikita Kucherov. And Nikita Kucherov, if you have the puck, the lower part of the circle, and a clean look, there's no need for a cross-ice pass. You're Nikita freaking Kucherov. You're not, I don't know, trying to think of a bad player. You're not Tim Taylor. You have accuracy. You have an incredible shot. So use it. I'm glad, on an aside, that Nikita decided to do that in the 3-on-1. How about more of that on the power play, please? So that's the two things I'm disappointed about. But I have to say that Buffalo is impressive, and they're a team I think over the next year to two is going to be a bit of a problem. And two reasons why. They've got a big defense, a lot of tall, big physical bodies. They're a little bit slow of foot, but when Rasmus Dahlin, the number one overall pick this year, finds a little bit more of his adult weight, his man weight, that dude can really skate. In some circumstances, he's small on the ice. You lose track of him. And he knifes to open areas and does so effortlessly. That guy's going to be a big-time player. And Jack Eichel looks like a true power forward now. I know a couple of people who are diehard Buffalo fans who thought that this was a bust pick early on. But I got to say that Eichel from the waist down is very strong on his skates. It looks like this Buffalo team might not be littered with speed outside of a guy like Jeff Skinner, but they have a lot of determination, and they are a good counterpunch to Toronto and Tampa. It's kind of like Boston. Boston has some skill, but they're physical, and they'll challenge your manhood. Buffalo does much the same. I think that that's where they're trending in the next couple of years. They may make the playoffs this season, but they are certainly a team that appears to be getting their act together. And I think Phil Housley is a good coach. He was playing for the Lightning for a little while, but I think they're coached well, too. So, obviously, that's a lot to chew on. I know I went basically nonstop there for, let's see, how long was that? My God, about 20 minutes. I didn't take a breath. So, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a brief break right here, and we'll get a message from our friends Bill Curry Ford, who sponsored this year's program, and we're so thankful for that. And then we're going to come back, take a look at the schedule for the week ahead. We're going to look at the standings, of which Tampa Bay is atop the Atlantic Division. Spoiler alert there. And then we'll get ready for next week. This is the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast, part of the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network.
Bill Curry Ford is the proud presenter of the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast. Come enjoy the Curry experience that has served the Tampa Bay community for 58 years. Their beautiful showroom is just north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. New general manager Sean Sullivan, he's a Lightning fan, a Bucks fan, and he has great savings for the Tampa Bay community. Just go to the Bill Curry Ford website, BillCurryFord.com, shop and find their transparent pricing on all vehicles, and then contact Sean Sullivan and tell him you want the Joe Bolts Fan, Joe Bucks Fan discount. It's that simple. You will get an additional $500 in savings, no catch, no hook, and best of all, at Bill Curry Ford, they have nationwide lifetime warranties on new vehicles and pre-owned. That's just part of buying a vehicle at Bill Curry Ford. Check it out at their website, BillCurryFord.com.
Got to be in love with that effort last night, Tampa. It's a 5-4 victory, but the way we played, outclassed Buffalo. Kudos to them for hanging in there, though. They are certainly a team that believes they're heavyweights. They don't play well enough to be, but belief gets you far enough. Look at Vegas last year. So the week ahead for the Tampa Bay Lightning before we reconvene next week. In fact, I will be doing an earlier podcast next week as I'm taking a bit of a post-football season vacation from the day job. But on Saturday, that's tomorrow, December the 1st, we travel down to Sunrise to take on the Florida Panthers. That's a 7 o'clock puck drop. Then on Monday, we travel up to New Jersey for another game with the Devils. That is a 7 o'clock puck drop. For those of you that are outside the Tampa Bay area, you can get that game on NHL Network. On Tuesday night, that's a back-to-back, that's right, so I don't know if we're going to see Eddie Pasquale or who we're going to see, but we're playing the Red Wings, and that's a 7:30 puck drop from the Motor City. Then on Thursday next week, we play the Boston Bruins, and my hunch is I'll have a podcast previewing that game with Boston. It's a home game. But we're probably going to do the next Joe Bolts Fan Podcast on Thursday, December the 6th. So a quick observation before we get going and we look at the standings. Louis Domingue is starting to regress to the mean and or he's getting tired. Some of the goals he gave up last night, especially the second one where he completely fights it and finds a way to not stop the puck. I think you're starting to see the mental edge. It's blunted a little bit. He's not quite as sharp. It's fine for 9 games in a row, 8 games in a row, whatever it is, to come in relief. But now you're hitting a point in time where you wouldn't ask Andrei Vasilevsky to make 10 straight starts. So the fact that you're doing it with a guy in Louis Domingue, who I'm not sure he's played that many games in a row. I mean, did he even do it in the minors? You can see that it's starting to wear on him. And when you have mental fatigue with a goaltender who is as, you know, average to slightly above average as Louis Domingue is, you're putting yourself in harm's way. So I think moving forward here, the game tomorrow in Sunrise and then the back-to-backs next week, we better bring our goal-scoring shoes. Louis Domingue could really use a break, and I don't know when we can give it to him. Obviously, he's not going to play the back-to-back, but if it were me, and I liked Eddie Pasquale or the kid we called up from Syracuse this week, I might give him 2 out of 3 starts. It's just, for his own sake, Louis looks like he's starting to fight the puck an awful lot. And last night, we could have frankly lost the game because of Louis Domingue. It's the only reason it was a game. He was not sharp. He's been really good for us, largely, in this stretch of 10 games, but and certainly better than expected. But it's starting to wear off a little bit, and we're missing Andrei Vasilevsky. So hopefully we stop leaking oil there. But here we go now with the standings for the week. I'm going to play, let's see, yeah, we'll do the NHL ESPN music. And we'll look everywhere but the Atlantic Division before we go. The Western Conference in the Central Division, that's Nashville. They beat us twice this year. That's really annoying. But they lost 2 in a row through 26 games played. They've got 35 points, a 17-8-1 record. right behind them, a point behind them with a game in hand, the Colorado Avalanche. We know them. They're quite good. Nathan MacKinnon having an MVP-type season. They're 15-6-4. And then rounding out positions 3 and 4 in that division, Winnipeg and Minnesota, 30 points apiece, but Winnipeg has only played 24 games to Minnesota's 25. In the Pacific Division, well, the Calgary Flames lead the way. It's a really average division, as 30 points controls first place in the Pacific, but there is Calgary, a plus 11 goal differential, one of two teams in that division with a plus differential. They're at 30 points through 25 games. San Jose's in second, 29 points through 26 games. Vegas, not having that great of a year, slightly above 500. They're at 29 points through 27 games. Not quite the year of destiny that 2017-2018 was for the Golden Knights. And then Anaheim, there they are, the team that beat us on Tuesday night. 12-10-5, 29 points. They're hanging around only because it's a bad division. In the Metropolitan Division in the East, the Columbus Blue Jackets continue to play pretty good hockey. They won two straight, 7-2-1 in their last 10. They're at 32 points through 25 games played. Washington seems to be getting its act together. Tom Wilson's back. That has a lot to do with it. 7-3 in their last 10, but 6 in a row Washington has won. 14-7-3 on the season. They're at 31 points through 24 games, so a chance at first place for them. The Rangers hold down third place in the Metropolitan Division, 28 points. The Islanders, who started out really hot, have lost two straight, starting to cool off a little bit. They're tied with Carolina, 27 points through 24 games played for both those teams. And finally, in the Atlantic Division, the Tampa Bay Lightning holding it down, 37 points in 26 games played, the best record in the NHL, followed closely by the Maple Leafs, who have 36 through 26, and Buffalo, who we beat last night, who also has 36 points through 26 games played. Buffalo, again, a bit of an outlier, winners of 10 in a row. That's wonderful for them. But I'm looking at Boston behind Buffalo, who's 14-7-4. 32 points in the Atlantic Division. They will be part of this conversation before it's all said and done. And we do play them next week. We'll preview that on the Joe Bolts Fan Podcast at that point. Thank you so much, as always, for listening to this program. And thanks again to the folks at Bill Curry Ford. Make sure to listen to JoeBucksFan.com's myriad of podcasts for football. It's been an interesting week for the Bucks. Jameis Winston looks like he's taken off the turnover glasses, and he put on a visor. We'll see if that continues this weekend against Carolina. But as always, stay tuned to the JoeBucksFan.com podcasting network for all the best coverage. It's much better than radio in Tampa Bay. And thanks again for listening to Hockey Talk in Tampa. We'll talk to you next week.